Welcome to Brick by Brick, where we begin to build the new you. Here's a simple truth. You're not perfect, and that's okay because you are actually awesome or on your way to being awesome. And with this podcast, we will begin to tackle the rough topics of life. We will journey to a place in which you used to be in order to get to the place in which you choose to be. You see, you were born to be amazing, and together you and I will help and make sure that you get there. Don't let anybody stop you, and never let anybody treat you any less than what you're actually worth. In order for you to get to this level, in order for you to get to this point, the first thing you must do is start seeing you through different eyes. And remember, keep smiling. It looks good on your face.
Welcome to this week's Brick by Brick, a motivational podcast with Antonio T. Smith Jr., also known as Rev Tony. We are recording in our mobile studio because someone is out on the road this week. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm going to have to stop being such a traveling businessman so we can get back in front of one another.
That's okay.
Oh, well,
if you're traveling, you're bringing in. If you're traveling, you're bringing in money. You're bringing in money.
Oh.
And I have a paycheck, so it's all good.
Well, that does make sense. So that does make sense. That does make
not
sense.
To be selfish.
Well, no. To desire to be paid is not selfish. That's for sure. But no, that makes plenty of sense. However. We both know I travel for a different reason, right? Because we can make money while I'm sitting at home on the couch. But we love to travel and inspire people and shoot them with hope, and they in turn do the same thing for other people.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. All right, what we got today? Oh no! See, there I go messing up your agenda. You go ahead.
Speaking of engagements, I almost said Pastor Tony, but that's fine too. Antonio will be speaking Sunday, May 10th, which is Mother's Day. He is the keynote speaker at the Lupus Awareness Brunch. The address is 5922 Washington Avenue in Houston, Texas. Tickets are $25 and $30 at the door. Also, May 12th, 13th, and 14th, he'll be the theme speaker for the American Baptist Eastern General Association of Texas May Spring Board. He'll be speaking on rebranding the church for the 21st century. The program starts at 10 a.m. each day in Etna, Texas. June 16th through the 18th, he'll be back in Etna, speaking for the American Baptist Eastern General Association of Texas Youth Congress, teaching a class on sex and the church. And lastly, June 20th through the 28th, he'll be in India headlining a pastor's conference for pastors in 50 villages, speaking on leadership, church planting, and business strategy. So busy quarter ahead for Antonio.
Awesome. That's good. So do we have us a good topic today?
I think it's pretty good. Something that I've heard you say 1,000 times. So I figured we should speak on it.
If I've said it 1,000 times, it's the best topic on planet Earth. No, I'm just joking, right? You know, we would love to, you know, everyone loves to think that what they think is the greatest thing on planet Earth. All right, so something I said 1,000 times. Okay, what's that topic?
Getting people to buy into your vision.
Oh, yeah. That is a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. And this is a topic that spreads across all organizations, not even just organizations, from people and friendships as well, right? I mean, everyone has a vision. Even if your vision is to do absolutely nothing, right? In itself, that is a vision, right? So
right? You know, it's your birthday. You're a hardworking person. You're like, I'm not going to do anything at all for my birthday. Well, you cast a vision for that day as I'm going to forget all my responsibilities and I'm going to relax. That is a vision. So
that's
you
what
would
you
be
do for your birthday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. For my birthday, I actually have 2 days. I actually have, okay, guys, so this is totally in today's topic, but I like to throw these things out so you guys can understand how my brain works, because I've realized I help. I'm on the road. I travel. I do this. I speak at these things. I do that. I do that. I come back. Certainly, I'm back every Sunday for most of the Sundays for my in the spotlight job, which is preaching, right? So besides that, and of course we do most of the work happens not on Sundays. But so I have 2 days, and this is a funny story. I have my birthday, and I have what you call Tony Day. And because that's my name, right? And so Tony Day is the last Sunday of the third Sunday of the year. It's Tony Day. The last third Sunday of the year. There we go. It's Tony Day. And it's a funny story how that happened, because me and my wife were back and forth, and we was like, well, her birthday is June 1st. So I was like, Valentine's Day, you even get New Year's because you make me buy you something then. You got your Valentine's Day. Then we turn around on Valentine's Day. You got Mother's Day, which is in May. And then since your birthday is June 1st, you turn around and get something else for your birthday. And then you just get something else for any time that you want it. So I'm going to have a day. And I just totally made it up. I made up the fact of Tony Day, and then I just picked a day that I knew I was going to be in town, right, because they try not to be out of town out of Christmas. And so I basically stole my birthday, and believe me, I had to steal my birthday, and I stole Tony Day, and I cast a vision that for 2 days out of the year, for sure, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit around. I might not even bathe that day, right? I'm just going to sit around.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I am going to just sit around and do whatever it is that I want to do. So all that's to prove that no matter what you do, you're casting a vision. Now, the trick becomes, how do I get my wife to buy into the vision of Tony Day, right? See, that becomes something completely different, right? So you guys on the phone, on there, listen to me right now, going, man, that's a good idea. How do I get my wife to buy into that? And that's what we're going to talk about today, right? And if you happen to be a woman, I'm going to get my husband to buy into me having my own day besides that. And we're going to have to get people to buy into that vision. So I cast a vision to have my own day. And we basically going to get to the question. And so you have a couple of questions for me. I definitely have my own agenda with this, but I would definitely allow you to go with yours first.
My first question is, how do you know who to share your vision with?
Well, so it depends. In this case, you have to define what share means. So the one large, a big piece of me wants to go, well, you share your vision with everybody. You never know who is going to come in and redefine or reshape or ignite or reignite your business or your vision, because you can't be a secret agent leader, right? People have to kind of know you're a leader. I don't mean you have to be loud, but people have to know that in rough times you're not going to be rattled or shaken. So you always want to share your vision. This isn't my final answer, because I have an answer much stronger than what I'm saying right now, but this is a dualistic answer. This is a dualistic answer. So basically, we have to get to the point to where we say who gets to share this vision. So if you are already working, if you are already in an organization, you want to share your vision every single time you open your mouth. You want to share some sort of aspects of it. You share your vision with the janitor. You share your business with the COO, with the CEO. If you're the CEO, you share with the president. From the bottom of the bottom to the top of the top, you share your vision, because your vision will not only define your company, Not only will it do that, it will also say where your company is going, but not only that, your vision will create a DNA for your organization. And you want the DNA of your organization to permeate every single level of your organization. What you do not want to do is know the vision at the top, and then the people under you know the vision, but the people beneath them don't know the vision at all, because now you have a fractured organization to where work isn't getting done, because only the people at the top know what to do, and the people at the bottom don't know what to do, and they don't have the standard. So the only time the standard is being upheld in your organization is when you walk into the office, or when you go and check on the store, or when you go and check on such and such. So if that's the case, then the reason why your sales are low or your production is low is because in front of customers, they're going and spreading their own vision and not your vision, and your vision probably has a higher standard than what theirs does. So you definitely want to have the vision to be so strong and so clear. This is important. Clear vision, right? To where you're away, and then the people that are employed by you are still upholding your standard as you leave. The standard shouldn't increase because you've walked into the building. Now, of course, you want that reaction. Okay, the boss is coming. We need to make sure everything is clean. We need to make sure everything is right. Yeah, of course you want that. You want that certain amount of respect that comes with that. But does that mean that I need to do a full 180-degree turn to make sure it's up to your standard? Because if that's the case, then you're losing a whole lot of money, and you're losing it very fast, and you won't be in business very long at all. Right, so you definitely want to share your vision in that aspect with everybody, from the top of the top to the bottom of the bottom, because your business is only as strong as the vision and a couple other things, methods and systems in place, right? But you can't have a method if you don't have a vision. You can't have systems if you don't have a vision. And the most people, in fact, let me put a pin in that about the vision, not knowing, because I'm definitely going to come back to that. So most people don't even know where they're going in their vision, and we'll get to that in a second. But you want to share it with everybody in the organization. Now, here's what I really wanted to say, because you can't share your vision with everyone. Now, I know that it seems like a paradox. I'm not going to contradict myself, but that's why I said let's define what sharing means, right? So if you're already on a job or if it's in a work environment, you want to share your vision with everyone. But there are dream killers out there. Right, and I'm talking about while you're working. I'm talking about the people, they're in your family. Most of these dream killers, you know, you're in family. Some of you guys are sleeping with dream killers, right? And I hate to be harsh, but some of you wake up in the morning with morning breath, and you roll over to a dream killer. Every time you say you want to do something, he or she, your significant other, is saying, no, you can't do that. Right, and you bought into the negative expectations of the person you spend most of the time with. And I would ask you wisely to reevaluate some of the people you have in your life. Right, and I'm not a psychologist, so don't go out and start, you know, messing up your relationships. I'm just simply saying that if you're going to be with someone, you need to be with all their mistakes and also all their visions, passions, and dreams. Right, so you can't share your vision with everyone as far as when it's in conception state, when you know on the inside that you can do this, you can change the world, you have this new design for this smaller microchip, I want to start this network marketing business, right, before it's running, before it's at organizational structural level, before it's there, be careful who you share your vision with, because everyone doesn't want you to have a vision. And the truth of the matter is, the people who have tried and failed, a lot of times they don't want you to be successful at all. And if they do want you to be successful, they don't want you to be more successful than they are. So you have to be careful in the conceptual stage, right? I'm talking about when the seed is just planted and you're excited about it, and you think the world's going to be easy, it's going to go, and you're writing a business plan and all these things. Somebody at that conceptual state, before the labor pain, you be careful who you give the best of you to. Be very careful about that, because everyone doesn't need to know your dreams. Let me give you a biblical example for that, and I don't mean to make this a biblical podcast. We have another podcast for that. But it's a great story in the Bible, and which holds a lot of truths to still to today. And if you're not religious, you can just say it's an illustration, and you know, you can disagree with me on the theology of it. But I don't want to tell you about the theology. I just want to tell you about what happened to a young brother named Joseph in the Old Testament, right? So if you're not familiar with the Bible, there's two popular Josephs in the Bible, one in the New Testament, who happens to be Mary's husband, who gives birth to Jesus, right? And then there's one in the Old Testament. I want to talk about the one in the Old Testament, right? And, of course, I totally just said some stuff that has theological connotations and even denotations and innuendos, but I'm touching the surface because I'm not trying to make this that. So all my scholars out there, just forgive me. I'm purposely not trying to dig into that story. However, Joseph had a dream that he would rule over his brothers. All right, so he had 11 other brothers, and what Joseph did was he was the second youngest. And so his younger brother, Benjamin, which that was his youngest, Benjamin was the youngest, and Joseph was the second youngest, and here's how it worked. Well, pretty much second youngest, right around there. And here's how it worked. What Joseph did was tell his older brothers that I'm going to rule over you, and they didn't like that. And as a result, skipping a whole bunch of great juicy details, they tried to kill him for dreaming. They tried to kill him for sharing his dream with them. And listen, now so that illustration over with, but here's what I'm saying. Some people are trying to kill you because you keep running your mouth saying what you're going to do. And it's not that they may not be trying to kill you like they're trying to kill Joseph, sell you off to slavery, but they're trying to kill you, your self-esteem. They're trying to kill your income. They're trying to kill your reputation. You know, he said he was going to do this. Who do you think he is? He has a past. Does he know? Yeah, I know he had a baby or she had a baby before she was married. She, you know, and these.
Oh, man, I think we lost you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
You got me back? You got me back?
Okay, yeah.
All right, great. Yeah, sorry, guys. We're on the mobile studio and I'm traveling, and I have a cell phone provider anyway, and I won't say the name. However, it seems to drop every now and then. I'm sorry about that. Well, you know, and the reason I won't say the name, we might try to get an endorsement deal from them one day, right? So I don't want to be bashing them in front of hundreds of thousands of people, right? And inside them. I'm very satisfied with the company, and, you know, nothing's perfect. But anyway, so Joseph's brothers tried to kill him physically, and then Reuben stepped in and was like, hey, let's not kill us to sell him to slavery, and that's the older brother. And so basically you got people in your life that are trying to kill you. Now, they may not be physically, right, because we're supposed to be a more sophisticated world and society where we don't do things like that anymore. It's not always the case. However, the point here is people, they're killing your self-esteem. They're killing your reputation. They're killing everything about you that you're going to need. And so you've got to be very careful who you tell your dreams to. An old guy once told me this here. In fact, his name is Charles Wheat. He's actually a preacher down in Galveston, Texas, and I want to give him his credit because he told me something when I first started and changed my entire life, and I want to tell it to you. And I was telling him, I said, well, you know, man, Mr. Wheat, man, everybody's against me, and I know, though, I'm supposed to do this. And he looked at me and he said, you know what, Tony, here's the deal. I can't say that, oh, that's what he was talking about. Or I can't say, oh, that's what God had for him. Or I can't say, wow, look what he did. Makes a lot of sense now. If you don't ever stop complaining and go do it. Please hear what I said, because I can't celebrate with you. Like, guys, all you thousands of listeners, I want to celebrate with you. I want to. I can't wait to read the emails and, you know, say, man, this podcast changed my life, or I did this, or I hate this podcast. I did the opposite of everything you said, and I got the best results I needed, right? However you want to do it. But I can't wait to celebrate with you. But the deal is, if you don't ever go out and go do it, I can't celebrate with you. I don't get to say, that's what he was talking about. That's what she was talking about. So it comes a time when you're going to be sharing your vision with others, trying to get them to buy into it. At some point, Your vision needs to have action, and you need to go out and do it so other people can celebrate with you. And saying that, so here's my agenda, and we'll go back to Timber's agenda. And here's my agenda on how do you share the vision with others. Here's the number one thing you need to know. You cannot be a leader without followers. This is never going to happen. You're just a silly guy or girl, right? And I use those words loosely, not to be offensive to any gender. But, you know, you're a silly man or woman if you just have an idea and no one's following you. That's crazy. You're just a cuckoo person. The person you need to love and respect in your organization right now, if you can remember who I'm about to say, write up a thank you card right now, is the first follower. Because you were an idiot until your first follower, Kathleen Pivens is laughing at me, right? You were an idiot until your first follower came along and said, hey, I believe in this thing you're doing. And then when that first follower came along, especially if they were very influential, then everyone else said, well, hold on, what's going on over there? I thought he was crazy, but he's got people following him. And then you can get all the thousands of people, but you will never get the thousands of people if you don't get that first one. So, in fact, your first follower is actually the greatest leader in your organization, even more greater than you, right? Or even more great than you, right? So, you hear what I'm saying? Your first follower is actually the most important person in your organization, even if they are not there anymore. You would not have an organization without your first follower. So in your vision casting process, you need to be totally in tune with yourself, and then you need to be totally in tune with your first follower. Who is your first follower going to be? Male, female? Do they have money? Do they have vision? Are they to your weakness? Or do they complement your weaknesses? Or do they bolster your weaknesses or embellish your weaknesses? Do they make your weaknesses stronger? Or do they make your weaknesses even weaker? Who is your first follower? So when you're casting your vision, the first thing you need to do is know, I have to impress this first follower. Don't try to save the world. Get the first follower first, and the world will come. Because until you get your first follower, then you're just a crazy person with an idea that no one believes in but you. Okay, back to you, Tim, because I know you have another question. I've still got plenty more I want to talk about, but go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, you got your question. I'm going to say this one thing, and I'll bring it right back to you. So get your question queued up and ready, right? But, you know, so here's another thing. Let me tell you how to – so somebody out there is like, man, all this sounds good, but I got everyone disagreeing with me. Great. Let me tell you how to get them to stop disagreeing with you. You need to start leading with the vision, not your ego, not your words, not you. Because the people in your organization are there with a common cause, and that's whatever the common cause of your organization is. Every organization is fulfilling some sort of need or niche. Everyone, every single one, you're there to fulfill a need or to fulfill a niche or to improve a need or to improve a niche. Everyone. And so your vision is, well, before we get to the vision, everyone is there for that reason. They bought into that common thing that is lacking or the common thing that you are improving. So let me give you a few examples. If you're in church, and obviously the common thing is, right, God, Jesus Christ, right? Everyone's there for that, right? If you are in computers, well, then obviously you're in to make it the best computers with the fastest processors or whatever that may be, right? If you're in operating systems, you're trying to make the easiest operate, the most complex operating system that has the easiest user face, right, so people can actually use it, right? So everyone's there for a reason. They're there for that one reason. And here's the deal. These people don't disagree why they are there. They disagree with how you're making it come across. So here's what you do. They disagree with change, right? When you build a system, the system doesn't like to change, right? Unless you build your system to change and adapt often, your system is not going to like to change. It's not just the people want to disagree with you. It's just that a system says, well, we've always done it this way, why change it? All right? Mm-hmm. So you're fighting a system. And when you're fighting that system, the systems are always stronger than people, so resistance from a system, and that's pretty much what you're getting. So here's how you diffuse all the argument and the disagreeing in your organization. Leave a division. Say, hey, guys, I've noticed over the past year, and the reason I say past year, because if you just got into an organization, don't start making all these millions of changes. Don't do that. Spend your first year. Right, if you can, unless you're going under, then you can't do that. But spend your first year getting to know your people, because you're going to need their trust. They're going to have to trust you first, right, before you can start making all these changes. Right, so that, back to my narrative here. So when you get this vision, say, hey, guys, listen, I've been noticing that all you guys are awesome. All you guys are great. I noticed that the system is actually failing us, though. It's not you guys. It's the system. And so we said we were going to be here to do this. And so you guys tell me how, in your own experiences, how is it that we're not reaching this? Because it's not you guys. It's the system. The system is making us not reach the standard in which we all are here for. So give me some ideas. Throw some things out there and tell me how our system is stopping us from reaching our passion and our ultimate goal in which we want to do. And these people will be glad to talk. Now, you can have your entire agenda the whole time, because I am keen of having my own agenda and then not saying anything and letting people talk. Because once they talk, Tempest wisely said this in another episode, people just want to be heard. Let them talk and actually listen to them. Don't just like let them talk for formality, because, again, I always say it, people's BS radar is very high. You can't fool people. Let them talk. But then when you start making changes, you're not making changes anymore. You're the guy saying, hey, let's start following the vision, because the vision is way up there and our system is way down here and there's a gap. So let's rise up to our vision. And now you're no longer the bad guy, because everyone is there for the top-notch vision. They're there for the fulfillment of the need or the niche in your organization. So now people... So if your job is to make the best, needles to draw blood, and if your needles are not good, then people can't get mad that their needles are not good to draw blood, because that's what we're here for. So do we need to go get another sponsor? Do we need to go get another manufacturer? And people are like, you know what, we sure do, because this isn't working. And all of a sudden, you get to change. You didn't want to use that manufacturer in the first place, but you can't tell them, I want to change the manufacturer. No, we have a good relationship with these people. No, we can't do that. I don't want to do that. But when you lead it to them and say, well, hey, this manufacturer isn't working, guys, and you let them say it, then it's a whole lot easier. You get a lot of less disagreements when you lead with the vision. It's probably the smartest thing I've ever said about vision in my life, and I'm giving it to you guys right now. So hopefully those things kind of help you right now. Go ahead, Tempest. You've got you a nice little question to keep us hitting the folks that I'm missing.
So let's say I buy into your vision. So, okay. I'm trusting you. I'm buying into your vision. And, of course, life doesn't go exactly as planned. So what if your vision doesn't, I don't want to say fail, but what if it fails? What if your vision doesn't happen? And then I've bought into it thinking that, you know, we're going to get to a certain point and we're nowhere near that point. Then how do you encourage me to stay the course? You know?
Well, sure. Absolutely. So in the sports world, they say, you know, you have your game plan, but you actually got to play the game. You can have your game plan written up, right? But come, if it was football, come second down of the game, the whole game plan is run out because, if you had to throw that out, they actually play the game, right? And that's what you're kind of saying, right? So we have this vision, and it's not working right now. So there's a couple of things you can do. First off, be honest with people. Stop telling people that we're going to get there in a year. Well, no, if it's going to take 3 years, tell them it's going to take 3 years, and then people won't get upset when they don't get it in a year because they're waiting for 3 years. If you tell them, I don't know when we're going to get there, but we're going to beat this down until we get there, then the people, you will attract the people in your organization that don't have a problem with that. In fact, you're going to attract some very strong people in your organization because it takes some strong achievers and some strong people with developer talents. And if you're not familiar with these talents, again, go to Strengths, what is it, Tempest? StrengthsFinder. Go to StrengthsFinder.com. Right, go to StrengthsFinder.com, and you can see some of these talents that I'm naming, right? But the deal is be very realistic about your goals. Now, that doesn't mean – now, for the vision, for you visionaries, you have to be unrealistic and go grab realistic things in the future and then pull them to your present. So you have to kind of think unrealistically, right? You're going to have to be the one to say, no, I know it doesn't look like it, but we're on the right course. I expected this to happen. You have to be unrealistic enough to know that I have to go all the way out into the future 5 years from now and then build backwards to present day and then come up with these steps. And during these steps, you need to know that you're going to have some downfalls and some pitfalls and some setbacks too, right? So you definitely want to plan it out. And if you're not a good planner, you need to find somebody in your organization that is a good planner. And if you're good at vision, then you spit out all these ideas and you guys soundboard off of one another, and then you'll come up with all these things. So the first thing you want to do is you definitely want to have a good amount of information. People will follow you to the end of the earth if they know that you're going to follow you to the end of the earth. Right? If you tell them, well, we're just going to Jersey, but now you're boarding a plane headed to China, well, they didn't sign up for that, and they weren't ready for that. They were only ready to go to Jersey. I have to get back home, you know, 3 days trip and get back to my kids or something, right? And people are like, and that's fair because you didn't educate them enough or you didn't give them enough information. We have this weakness as leaders to pee people on a need-to-know basis. Now, some stuff should be need-to-know, but when it comes to the downfalls and pitfalls and what's ahead, the people need to know that, and you can have a better, more flourishing organization if you let them know that the vision is there. And you let them know the pitfalls and the roadblocks ahead. Nobody expects to just walk into grace and walk into heaven or walk into nirvana or walk into golden brick roads or walk into the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow without having to get some rain, right? You can't just walk to the pot of you can't walk to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow because a rainbow can't even happen without rain, right? So at least in most cases. So you can't expect to get to the rainbow without rain. So you got to tell people about the rain too, not just the rainbow. We have a tendency to focus on the rainbow and say, oh, forget about the rain. Like, the rain doesn't exist. We're going to the rainbow. No, no, tell them about the rain too because people don't mind that because they know when there's a rain, here comes the rainbow. So it totally makes sense. Educate your people on the risk ahead. Now, also a great thing that Tempest said. So now you got this demotivation factor. Why I'm demotivated. Spend a one-on-one time with the people. This is why I said that you need to get to know your people. So know what demotivates Tempest because what demotivates Tempest may not demotivate Tony, right? And it may be maybe Tempest is demotivated with the vision because the vision doesn't include rebuilding relationships with people, all right? And she's a relationship builder. So you need to know why different people are demotivated. Some of the people that are demotivating your organization, they demotivate because you're micromanaging them. I'll pause right here because Tempest is really going to like
that. Oh, my gosh. I cannot stand being micromanaged. Oh, that is the thing to lose me.
Now, why is it that you can't? I have the leadership reason why you don't like being micromanaged, but you tell me from a layman's perspective, although you're not a layman because you're a boss, but still, you say, why, as an assistant in this organization, why don't you like to be micromanaged? Like, just give the real so they can hear.
I feel like if you have to micromanage me, then you don't trust me. And if you don't trust me, then why am I here? Like, step back and let me do my own thing. So a couple of weeks ago, that wasn't a topic, but we mentioned something about, or you mentioned something about personal space. Like, I don't need you in my personal space literally or metaphorically. Like, just tell me what you want and trust me. Trust me for the job that you hired me for. Nothing's wrong with micromanaging because some people do like that and some people do need it. But some of us don't need that. And if you do that, then it's not going to go well. I'll stop working. while you're marketing.
That's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. So basically what Tim is saying, that's actually everything Tim is saying was absolutely on point. So I only have one thing to say about that because he said everything I was going to say. You can't micromanage self-motivated people. Self-motivated people don't need micromanagement. They're not trying to do anything outside your vision. But let them be themselves in your vision, and that'll stop some demotivation. And that's part of the vision, right? So the part of the vision is to know who can have your vision taken and run with it and bolster your vision, and then who you need to spoon-feed your vision, right? So there it is, because that's like probably the most important thing that we've said thus far. If you're going to get people to buy into your vision, you need to know who you need to spoon-feed, and then you need to know who you just need to hand it to. Right, some folks like Tempest just hand them the vision. They would have bought into it because you didn't force feed it on their mouth, or you just gave it to them and said, "Now go do you," and give them some benchmarks. Right, some benchmarks, and you can do it two ways. Benchmarks: here's some achievement levels. I expect you here in 3 months. Like Tempest loves these things, but if she don't love them, I don't know. But I know for sure she performs well when I give her benchmarks. Right, so I don't know if she love. In fact, do you love benchmarks, Tempest? Or is that just something that you, right? You're self motivated. When I tell you I expect you here in 3 months, what does that do? Because I do expect you there. Like, just because you give me an answer does not mean that I'm going to stop giving you benchmarks. Please let me just tell you that right now.
I'm well aware of that.
Good.
When you give me
gets on your nerves sometimes.
No, it doesn't get on my nerves at all. I prefer a benchmark rather than just say, well, here, just get this done. Because that helps me prioritize, I guess.
Well, that makes
so that
sense.
Helps me
right.
out a lot.
Yeah, that makes total sense. And then the benchmark says that I just want you to get here, so I'm trusting you to get here, right? And
yeah.
So that makes total sense as well, right? And so you give people who are self-motivated benchmarks. Get here, and then we'll talk again in 3 months, right? At least we'll talk about this in 3 months on this level, right?
Yeah.
I'll come micromanage you about this in 3 months, and then I'll back up. See, Tempest don't mind being micromanaged for a meeting that lasts for an hour, right? Because it's not micromanagement. I'm more of saying, here's what I expect. What have you done? Okay, let's do this better. Let's do that. So it's kind of just reshifting her or remotivating her or even thanking her. But then once I'm done, all right, I'll step back and let Tempest go. And you want people in your organization that can do that. And that's how I get Tempest, people like Tempest to buy into the vision, because I trust her with the vision. For the micromanaged people, some people, and you guys know these people, they need to be complimented every 30 seconds, right? Oh, Janessa, you're doing great, Janessa. And if you don't compliment them, they're going to come to you. Hey, did you see the email I sent you? Hey, did you, right? it's the truth.
Wait,
hey,
so
see
sometimes
what
I do that.
Oh,
it's not that I need praise.
Well, you do. Everyone needs praise. Mm-hmm. Everyone needs praise. Everyone needs praise. Now, for you non-bosses, right, for you just motivated workers, for you non-CEOers, for you non-executives, even your executive needs praise. Right? Everyone
That's
needs
true.
Praise.
That's very
Everyone
true.
Needs praise. Everyone needs praise. Don't be afraid to walk up to your boss and say, hey, sir, I mean, no disrespect. I just want to tell you, I really like what you take at this company. Hey, ma'am, right? Because it could be male or female. I just really like what you take at this company, and I really like how you treat people. I just want to let you know that. And then walk off. Right?
Yeah.
That's not brown. That's not brown, though.
You know, I was really intimidated, like, the first 6 months I started working for you to do that. I was
really
nervous to do that. Yes.
Well, let's open it up. Why?
But
I know I'm intimidating. This I do know.
It's
I hear it all the time.
Well,
so.
You are a little intimidating, yes. But I don't know. It just kind of felt weird going to your boss and say, oh, I think you're doing a great job, without making it seem like I'm trying to, you know, and you say brown nose. So,
well, yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
It was just awkward for me. Like, I wanted you to know that you were doing a good job, because I honestly do think that. But it's still kind of, even today, it's still kind of weird for me to say you're doing a good job. Like, I want you to know it, but, like, how do you tell the boss you're doing a good job?
Well, you just, and so I'm glad you asked that question. So here it is right here, guys. The same way you have a BS radar, your boss has a BS radar too, right? Like your boss is a student. Right. So here it is, right here, plain and simple. Vibes don't lie. I mean, your boss can tell when it's just genuine positive energy flowing their way and when you have an agenda. Right? Vibes don't lie. People lie, but vibes don't. Right? So fear not that you can compliment. I'm not saying go ahead and make a you can make a habit out of it. Not make a habit to where every 30 minutes, right? Because no one needs a praise every 30 minutes, right? You know, when you go in with incorrect motives, that vibe, I mean, when you go in with incorrect motives to compliment your boss, you're also pushing that vibe off as well. And we can feel that. But we know who's genuine because you can't, if you're complimenting me, then I also expect you to work as hard as your compliment was, right? So if you walk up to me and compliment me, I'm knowing that you are one heck of a worker. So you mean that. If you're a sorry worker and you're complimenting me, you're probably trying to save your job, right? Does that make sense? Right. So, there are ways to, but vibes don't lie. People do. Vibes don't lie. People do. You got another one, Tempest?
No.
Okay, cool. I've got one more, and we'll close with this one because we don't want the podcast to be too long. So, guys, you got leading with the vision, right? So what I need for you to know is respect your vision. Respect it. Like, respect what if you're Christian, respect what God has given you, right? Well, you don't have to be Christian to believe in God, right? If you're a person of faith, respect what God has given you, right? Respect that. If you're not, respect what you feel on the inside, that intuitive nudge you have on the inside of you, respect it. You have the vision. So when failure pops up, and it will, respect the fact that failure is not bigger than the vision. Because here it is, your desire to win must be greater than your desire. I mean, must be greater than your obstacles ahead. Let me say it more fluidly. Your desire to win must be greater than your obstacles ahead. That's when you win. When what's in you, with what's on the inside of you, is stronger than the thing on the outside of you. When you get to that point, right, when the voices outside this world become insignificant or less, I mean the negative voices, right? Not your people trying to help you. When the negative voices outside this world become less influential than the voice on the inside of you, that's when you've mastered your life. That's when you know that you are where you're supposed to be. Respect your vision. No one on planet Earth is going to see through your eyes. You know where you want to go. You know that you need that product. You know that you want to improve this product. Respect it. And then you respect it so much to where you feel it on the inside. And then when you feel it on the inside, you make the doggone world on the outside of you respect the fact that what's on the inside of you will not be denied. You don't know where you don't have to know where you're going. You just need to know that you would not stop until you get there. Those are my closing thoughts.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning into this week's Brick by Brick. If you enjoyed what you heard or didn't enjoy what you heard, please feel free to comment and rate us below. We love feedback, and you actually help us make this podcast better for you. So your feedback is much appreciated and very welcome. If you would like for Antonio to speak at your upcoming event, feel free to go to revtony.org/booking. That's revtony.org/booking. And fill out the short form, and I'll be in contact with you soon. Thanks for tuning in.
All right, guys. Thank you. All you do, keep smiling. It looks good on your face.
Thank you. Wherever you are in life, whether you're a millionaire or you're just starting out, whether you believe in yourself or not, whether you have self-assurance or low self-esteem, whether you cry yourself to sleep at night or you're on top of the world, we want to help you become a better you because we believe that God has something greater in store just for you. Whether you're a church member or not, corporate world or not, we want to see you succeed in life. Tune in to us next week as we continue helping you be a better you.